So we're called to mirror his glory. We're called to mirror the glory of God, to mirror him, to be mirrors. Amen? Okay, so we are clay pots, but we are reflective clay pots. Most of the times, clay pots don't reflect anything, they're clay. But we are clay pots, and these clay pots are reflecting the glory of God. We are unique. The Bible tells us that we're clay pots, but we also need to reflect his glory. What kind of a clay pot reflects the glory of God? We do. We do. We are unique. God has called us unique, spiritual, and radiant in him. When we understand who we are and what the Lord and his word, what the word of God tells us who we are, when we understand who God's word tells us who we walk in a way that literally transforms not just our mindset, but also those around us. Let me tell you, I can tell you who God is. I can tell you who the devil is. And most of us would agree, and we would be, and we'd be good. But when I start telling you who you are is when there's an issue sometimes with some people, depending on where you're at in your journey, in your healing journey. So when I start telling you who you are, well, then it's like, well, and then all the doubt comes in, all the negativity, and all the labels that are still plaguing and bombarding your mind, though you may not speak it out loud, but yet it's still happening. That's when the roadblock starts to come in play. When I start to tell you who you are in Christ. But I'm telling you today that we are clay pots, but we are reflective clay pots. Amen? We are reflective clay pots, spiritual and radiant. Now, let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, a very familiar scripture we've gone over many times. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. We're called to mirror his glory, to mirror the glory of God. Let me read this to you here. I'm going to first read it to you from the New King James. It says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And all of us with unveiled faces, reflecting like bright mirrors, the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into the same likeness from one degree of radiance to another, from one degree of radiant holiness to another. We are going from glory to glory. All of us with unveiled faces reflecting the bright, like bright mirrors. We are brightly reflecting his glory. So we're supposed to be mirrors. This verse tells us that we are mirrors reflecting the glory of God. And the Lord, when I was preparing this message, he said, we are mirrors. We read this all the time. And we just go right on by it. But we have to stop and think, what do mirrors do? What do mirrors require? What do mirrors need in order for a mirror to do its job? It needs light. A mirror does not work in darkness. A mirror doesn't work in darkness. When there is darkness upon your life, when there are lies that are believed and your light is being dimmed because of the darkness, the mirrors that you are called to be are not reflecting the light of Christ as we were called to reflect. If your mirror is dirty, the same thing takes place. You have a distorted view. If you look into your mirror and it's dirty, is it distorted? It's distorted. Are we called to be distorted mirrors? No, we're not called to be distorted mirrors. We're not called to be dark mirrors either. We're actually called to let the light shine upon us, just as a light needs to be present in order for a mirror to do its job. The light of Christ must be upon us in order for us to be mirrors that reflect the glory of the Lord. Are we all following what I'm saying? And we know that the light is the word of God. And when the light, which is the word of God, the entrance of your words bring what? It brings light. It brings light. And he gives understanding to the simple. That is the scripture. That is the scripture. It's found in Psalm 119 and verse 130. I love that scripture It is the entrance of your words that gives light. That means every time I open up this Bible and every time I'm looking at this Bible and I'm letting these words literally be in my eye gate, there is a light, the light of Christ, that is entering into me, amen? And what happens is I start to be a mirror, a reflective mirror. God makes no mistakes. Nothing at all. There are no mistakes. So we have to understand that if this is what his word is saying, that we are called to be mirrors, then we need to make sure that our mirrors are reflecting the light of Christ. We need to make sure that the light of Christ that is upon us is literally what God says, this is my word. And anything contrary, we reject. Anything distorted, we reject. Anything that would be of a lie, we reject. It's so important that we walk into the true call of God. He says, no follower of mine is going to walk in darkness, right? So we're followers of his, and so we're not going to walk in darkness. I don't really think any of you guys are walking in darkness, but I think that the distorted mirror might be an issue from time to time. I don't think darkness is quite the issue for the ones that I'm speaking to at this very moment, but the distorted view is another story. Don't let your mirrors become dirty. Don't let the lies creep in. Don't let the lies of the enemy creep in and taint the way you see who you are in Christ. Like I said, I can tell you who God is. I can tell you who the devil is. And you would agree with me, because I can give you scriptures to back it up. And you would agree. But when I start telling you that you are the righteousness of Christ in Christ Jesus, when I start telling you that you're the head and not the tail, when I start telling you that the greater one that lives on the inside of you is not going to back down, he's not going to back off, and that you are completely victorious in Christ, when I start telling you who you are in Christ, until you've gotten enough word in you, you might just start rejecting it. Why? Because the distorted view starts to come in, yeah, but. And you need to literally cancel the yeah, but. You need to stop the excuses that the distorter comes. He is a distorter, a perverter, and distorts all things. But we serve the King of Kings that says, I am the light of Christ, and I will cause you to walk in lightness because in my light, because you are my son, my daughter. Are we a following? Amen? Somebody shout amen. I get it. What kind of a mirror are we called to be? A mirror that reflects the light of Christ. A mirror doesn't work unless there's light. It needs light. What do we need? You in and of yourself will not. You can't do anything that's of eternal purposes without the light of Christ shining upon you. Do you see when the Word of God tells us we are like mirrors, how true that is? And as we take this in and realize, wow, there is no struggle that I really should be having if I'm truly walking, allowing the light of Christ to shine upon me. Because then all I have to do is be a good reflector. Then all I have to do is just reflect what's been spoken, what I've read, what is true. Amen? Well, I thought that was exciting. I liked that. I was like, yes, Lord, thank you, Lord. Let the glory of God that is risen upon you right now, that glory, that's what happens when we become light reflectors. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah 60. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this service, God, and for those that you have brought. And I thank you, Father, that they're getting it. They're getting it more and more. That the light of your word is entering in, Lord God, and is causing, Lord God, understanding even to the simple. Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2, it says, arise and shine. And it says, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. His glory will be seen upon his people. Now, you take certain religious groups, you take some religious groups, and you tell them that we are called to allow the glory of God to shine upon us.
I could not wait to share this news with you all. The Lord is doing incredible things at this ministry, and it is because of partnership with each and every one of you. You know, just a few quick testimonies, but we've got testimonies of people getting saved, rededicating their lives to the Lord, people coming off of addiction, all types of addiction, people getting healed physically. I am telling you, the power of God is present in this ministry. And I just wanted to say, you know what? You are a part of what God is doing. This is a kingdom-minded ministry. So every seed that you sow, I want you to know with every fiber of your being that you are planting in good soil. So thank you for your partnership as we continue to reach the souls for Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's get back into the Word.
And we are called to let the glory of the Lord be seen upon us. And they think that you're crazy and that you are whacked. Except for that the Bible says very, very clearly in multiple places, of which we've already gone through many of those places, those different scriptural references, that the Lord, here in His Word, He says, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you. If God says, my glory is going to be seen upon you, if God says, my glory is rising upon you, and it's going to be evident, then I think that He knows something, and I think He's trying to get it into us, into our understanding, so we walk as a radiant one that shines forth His glory. We're walking as radiant ones, shining forth His glory. And we must allow the King of Glory to speak this truth to us. Because I'll tell you, you read that verse I just got done reading, that the glory of the Lord is upon us and it's rising upon us, right? And it's seen. It's seen. That means it's evident. That means we are to be those bright, shining lights. We are to be that source of hope. In a world of contention and stress and striving and just difficulties, we are to be the person and the people that carry the hope of Christ, because the light of Christ doesn't have darkness in it. We walk in truth, and truth dispels the darkness or the lies. Correct? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And so did you know that not only is the glory of the Lord risen upon you, it's not your glory, it's God's glory. It's risen, and it's upon you, but it's also going to be seen upon you. Yes, the glory of God. Well, what would that look like? What should that look like? What should that look like? It should look, yeah, love is one, but it should look like a God-fearing, confident, secure, filled with love, filled with wisdom, filled with a confident assurance and a bold authority, because you carry what is literally in heaven, but He's put it upon you now here on earth. It's powerful. We need to get the revelation of that so that you understand the depths of what I'm talking about, so that it's not just a head knowledge, but you walk it out. Everything changes when you realize you carry the glory of God. Everything changes in your mindset, because you won't allow a small, defeated assignment and the one that brings it to come against who you are. Who you are. Not who God is. We know who God is. Who you are in Him. And it's all in Him. Are we following? Are we in agreement? It's important that we are. Let's turn our Bibles to John and chapter 2. See, the more that we get the Word of God on the inside of us, the more that we understand the privilege that we have in walking with Him. And so in John and chapter 2, this is the very familiar passage of when the water was turned to wine. This is Jesus' first written, recorded miracle. In verse 6, it says, there were 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Let's stop right there. 6 water pots of stone. What is stone but an earthen clay? 6 water pots of stone, of earthen clay, according to the matter of purification. And the Jews containing 20 or, or yeah, purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Fill the water pots with water. We are like those vessels, those earthen vessels, that he says, I want you to be filled with the water of life. I want you to be filled with the water of life that never ends. It doesn't run dry. He told the Samaritan woman, if you drank this water, this actual water that's right in front of you from the well, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink the water of life that I'm giving you, you'll never thirst again. You're going to never thirst again. We don't thirst for a satisfaction that's already been satisfied in Christ. We thirst for him. A continual thirst that is beautiful indeed and continues to cause you to be one that's burning for Jesus and coming back and never, ever, ever being satisfied with status quo or without him. So it's a different kind of a thirst than what the world would thirst for. Draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. You're filled with the water of God's presence. These stone pots, these earthen clay pots were filled with water. But when the water was drawn out, the water wasn't water anymore. When the water was drawn out, it was something spectacular and miraculous that took place. And we know the story that the water turned into wine. But I want you to see yourself as these earthen vessels, because the Bible tells us that we are like earthen vessels. And the Bible tells us that we are to be filled with the water of life. But when that water of life has filled you, which is the word of God, and when you're filled with enough water, you're filled with enough light, what happens is you start to transform on the inside. And as you start to transform on the inside, when you're poured out, it is not the common ordinary water that is coming, that is evident. All of a sudden it's pure and it's supernatural and it's powerful, and you have something to give to somebody else that they would otherwise not have. Are we following? Say amen. This is the miracle of walking with Christ. Every story, everything you read in the Word of God has application to your life. There is an application that you can apply, that you can pull forth, and you can take this and say, Lord, I thank you. Your Word says, Lord God, the water I give to you then becomes a spring of water springing up to eternal life. But we have it now, and we have it then. Like, we will have it then, but we have it now. And somebody's getting it in the back. They're getting it in the back. Both of you are getting it in the back. How do I know that? Because there's a welling up. There's a stirring up. There's a stirring up that takes place. I would say to some of you, oh, sleeper, awake. Oh, sleeper, awake. For the light of Christ has come. He's shining upon you. And he's filling you with his glory. Filled to the brim. He says, these pots, six of them, filled to the brim. Not halfway down, but to the brim. And then given away. And that's what we're called to do. Let our lives be filled with the Spirit of the living God, and then allow our lives. Give yourself to those that God has positioned you to give yourself unto. Those that are in front of you. Those that God has sent you to. Give of yourself. Give of Christ in you, but pour it out. We just recently talked about a story last week about the woman with the jars. And remember, oil. She had oil, just one. She had one jar and a little bit of oil. And what did Elisha tell her? But to go and get as many as you can get. As many. This is the same. We are those containers, those clay vessels, earthen vessels that God wants to use. Clay pots, not just to be filled, but to reveal his glory. And like I said in the beginning, clay doesn't reflect light. It's breakable. It's fragile. It's earthen, it's earth, dirt, hardened dirt, it's clay. But when Christ has come and taken residency in us, this clay takes on a different nature. This clay now does supernatural things, like what? Reflect light. It does impossible things like reflect light, the light of Christ. Do you know who you are? Do we know who we are more and more? Because we need to understand the beauty and the brilliance of who Christ is in us and who he's called us to be. Amen? Thank you, Father. Glory to God. And so at the very end of the story, and in verse 10, and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, because you all know the story, the wine ran out. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior wine comes out. But you have kept the good wine until now. God has kept the good until now. It is time. Now is the time. What is good? Good is beautiful. Good is excellent. Good is genuine. He says, you have kept the good, what is praiseworthy, what is approved, and what is noble for now. You're not too late. And you're not too old. You're not too young. He's literally caused you to rise now. Now are your best days. Don't ever say, oh, well, those days gone by, those were the good old days. No, your best days are right now. And your best days are also still ahead of you. Your best days are right now, as well as ahead of you. And the Bible says that in Haggai 2:9, your latter days shall be greater than your former days. Right? That's your latter days. And so we're filled with an overflowing power of the power of God, the essence of his nature, of who Christ is. There's really nothing we can't do if he's called us to it. Nothing at all. And he says a fountain, which is a springing, overflowing in us, springing up to eternal life. Springing up. So we are to live filled and overflowing with the water of life. And that water always satisfies. Amen in the back. Hallelujah in the back. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. This is where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes at night. And he says, how do we know you are a teacher come from God? For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. I'm not going through that story. I want you to read this verse. Lord, let the verse, this verse, one verse, just the tail end of verse 2, jump off the page for them. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Because God is with me, I walk in miracles. Because God is in you, you walk in miracles. You walk in the supernatural. Do you see who you are in Christ as we are reading the scriptures? Because God is in you. Because the glory of God is in you. Because the powerful glory of God is in you, Esmeralda. You walk in miracles. He says, unless God is with him, can't do these things. Are we called to do these things? We're called to walk in signs and wonders. We're called to walk in greater things, he says. Greater things. We're called. Say, I'm called to walk in these greater things because God is with me. So then, therefore, clay, yet miraculous. I want you all to start praying in the Spirit for a moment. Just pray in the Spirit. I want to hear it loud. I want you to get loud in the Spirit. These clay vessels that can talk, that can pray. Truly miracles, 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 miracles all about us, all around us. Thank you, Father. Filled with water to the overflow. John 4. Let's go to John 4 and verse 13 and verse 14. Whoever drinks, this is the Samaritan woman, Jesus having that discussion. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. but the water that I shall give him will become in him. The water that I shall give him will become in him. There's something that's taking place even right now in you, in you, in him, in you. What is happening on the inside of you? But a fountain of water that is springing up to everlasting life. Daily the word fills you up until it becomes in you a fountain, an overflowing fountain. If it's not overflowing, then the in him is not complete yet. You need more word. Are we following? Jesus spoke this to the Samaritan woman who needed to know who she was. She needed to know who she was. She had a mixed identity, didn't she? She was lost, wasn't she, with a mistaken identity. And there was a day that you were lost with a mistaken identity. There was a day we all were lost with a mistaken identity. And the devil made sure that we had a mistaken identity, right? Amen? But I know that our identity is in Christ, and most of us know that today, now. Amen? But until her identity was found in Christ, she remained thirsty, searching, but never finding. We searched, but we found. Because when we call on his name, he answers, just as we were singing. Every time we call on his name, he answers. We know who we are. We know that we carry the water of life springing up to eternal life. It is a fountain, and a fountain, there's movement. In other words, when you walk out of this door, you've got to know that there are not stagnant waters that are residing on the inside of you, but a flow, a stream that is flowing from heaven down here to earth, and it's flowing into you, and it is called the way God moves in his miraculous way, so that you become so filled to that overflow that that water is now being given out to other people. Because you're miracles walking around. Literally a miracle. A clay pot that reflects his glory is a miracle. Amen. So as for these clay pots the Bible talks about and likens us to, and as for the mirrors that we're called to reflect the light of God's glory, these mirrors, it's all in your mindset. It's all in your mindset. Your thoughts will determine what kind of a mirror you're going to be. Your thoughts. When our thoughts align with the word of truth, these mirrors are bright. The light of Christ is illuminating upon our faces. The light of Christ literally illuminates, and it's not just on your face, but there's a depth to you that people see. There is a depth. In other words, it's not just face only or one level only. Boy, they look at you and they know. Christ in them changes everything. Christ in you.